Well, I will offer you both my thanks in advance for your patience. This is my first time hosting.
It is. So. I am ready for this shit to go right off the rails.
what are you trying to say? I haven't even started yet. You know, even though Ian isn't here, we should still act like he is and then just give reactions after certain, like you leave a space and then I'll say, you're out of your fucking mind. I don't even know why you're on the show. Hello, I'm Sean Hillman. Welcome, everyone, to the Ridiculous Rock Records Review Podcast, a show where we review an album of our choosing, dissect it track by track, and doing what any good dweeb with spare time and an internet connection would do, we rate it. I'm your host this week, Sean Hillman, and I'm joined by two guys that I'm glad to call friends, whether they like it or not. First, our returning co-pilot of the show and producer, Jason Donsis. Jason, how are you today?
Fantastic, Sean. I love how you are just making this bad boy your own right out of the gate.
Hey, I'm trying, man. My first time hosting. So looking forward to a good time. And our frequent guest and R4 podcast legend, the professor, Ray Permy. Ray, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. I didn't know I hit legendary status now.
I think so. Well, so
yeah, that's kind of cool. Well documented, I think.
Who knew? I'm old enough.
When you've been on more episodes than the hosts, I think that you qualify.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Today, we're reviewing the Tedeschi Trucks Band debut album, Revelator, released in 2011. And I'd like to go around the horn here and kind of find out where you guys came in with this. And we'll start with our guest slash legend, the professor. Ray, where do you come in with this
record? Well, I mean, I've heard of the Tedeschi Trucks Band, but I never listened to them. And why is because I was playing a song from this album this morning for my wife as we were getting our coffee. And she went, this is the album you're doing. You don't do female artists. And I was like, yeah, probably because it's a female lead. And here's a big surprise. I'm not really in touch with my feminine side. So in all seriousness, female vocals rarely speak to me. I love Janis Joplin, but she was my older sister's favorite, and that chick could flat out wail. And because I was alive and musically aware in the late 70s and the 80s, I like some Pat Benatar songs. And there was a time in 80 to 82 where she was everywhere. Plus, she had a great hard-edge band behind her. And if you don't believe me, go listen to Heartbreaker. Sprinkle a little Sheryl Crow in here and there. And a few years ago, I saw Robert Plant in Austin, and Lucinda Williams opened for him. She came out strutting on stage in black leather pants, a biker jacket, and a look on her face that conveyed she knew she could kick half the guy's asses in the crowd and would likely be looking for a fight after the set. She kicked off her set with Something Wicked This Way Comes, and I became an instant fan. I hadn't attempted to listen to Tedeschi Trucks Band until Sean encouraged me to do so. So here I am. I know next to nothing about them, save for what I've read on the internet. And I know they're road dogs, and they will have like anywhere from 12 to 30 to 400 people on stage with them. But that's all I know.
I'm especially excited that that you listen to this, and I'm really excited to hear what you have to say about it. Thank you. Mr. Donsis, how about you, sir?
Yeah, this is the time of the podcast where everybody needs to get out their bingo board. Pour your shot for the drinking game, whatever you need to do, because how I got into Tedeschi Trucks? Well, of course, it was through none other than the Black Crowes.
Shocking.
And you knew that was going to come, right? But, you know, there's a reason why we do a whole other podcast about that single band. And if you listen to this podcast enough, you might get a clue as to why. August 2013, over in Detroit, Michigan, Tedeschi Trucks and the Black Crowes co-headlined a festival out there, ended up putting a whole tour together. Actually, that might have been the back end of that tour, I think, by the time I caught it. But anyway, I went into that show, obviously, to go see the Crowes, but I was excited to see this band. I knew who Derek Trucks was. with his affiliation with the Allman Brothers Band and so forth. I had heard of Susan Tedeschi, but I had never heard her. And so that tour was super interesting because the Tedeschi Trucks Band would come out and they'd play for about an hour or so, like maybe 6 to 10 songs, depending on the night. And then the Crows would come out and play 6 to 10 songs for about an hour. And then they would come out together and play 6 to 10 songs for about an hour. It was a very unusual structure of a tour. And the biggest thing I remember is when I'm watching the Tedeschi Truck set, and as I look back on it now, I remember them playing several songs from the next record after this one, like Made Up Mind and couple other tracks that were notable. The biggest thing that stood out to me that really caught my attention is about halfway through their set, Rich came out, Rich Robinson from the Crows, and he came out and played Midnight in Harlem with them, which blew my mind. That, for me, that was hook, line, sinker. I was like, okay, now I got to get into this band. And so I left that show. The Crow set, by the way, for those wondering, was not that good. I thought Tedeschi Trucks was way better than them that night. And the set that they played together, of course, was all covers, and that was super fun. And you want to talk about 400 people on a stage when you have both those bands up there at the same time. It was crazy. They could hardly move up there. But the big takeaway, I left that show with that image of Rich and playing that Midnight in Harlem song, and I had to figure out where that was from. And that's how I dug out this record. It was the first record I heard from them, you know, a couple of years after it came out, obviously, and that kicked me into a whole deep dive, and then ended up going to several shows after that exclusively to just see Tedeschi Trucks, and it all went from there. So that's where I came in with this record. Is
yeah, my journey is almost exactly the same. Saw them open for the Crows, was blown away. I had never mm-hmm. seen or heard of them before, and I have been a rabid fan ever since. Now I'll give you the basic facts about this album as documented by the one true source of information in our world, Wikipedia. Revelator is the debut album by the 11-piece blues rock group Tedeschi Trucks Band, released in 2011 by Sony Masterworks, recorded in Derek and Susan Swamp Raga Studios in Jacksonville, co-produced by Derek Trucks with producer Jim Scott and engineers Jim Scott, Bobby Tiss, and Kevin Dean. The album won the Grammy Award for Best Blues Album at the 54th Grammy Awards. It charted as high as 12 on the Billboard 200, as high as 4 on the Top Rock Albums chart, and number 1 on the Top Blues Albums chart. Revelator was given ratings of 4 out of 5 stars by both AllMusic and Rolling Stone, and let's see if by the end we agree. Now let's meet the band. We have Derek Trucks on slide lead guitar, Susan Tedeschi on lead vocals, rhythm guitar, Oteil Burbidge on bass guitar, Kofi Burbidge on keyboards and flute, Tyler Greenwell on drums and percussion, J.J. Johnson on drums and percussion, Mike Madison on harmony vocals, Mark Rivers on harmony vocals, Kebby Williams on saxophone, Maurice Mobetta Brown on trumpet, and Saunders Sermons on trombone. And we will mention additional musicians as we see fit. Now it's time to plug in. Gently brush off the wax, sweep the needle, and extend the crooked arm of joy onto side one, and we open with Come See About Me, written by Derek Trucks, Susan Tedeschi, Tyler Greenwell, Mike Madison, and Theodore Pecchio.
Yeah. So the first thing I want to comment on is just what you just said there before I even talk about the song. The songwriting credits throughout this record, it's going to be a mouthful for Sean to come up with, because that's one of the biggest things that's unique about this band. When Susan Tedeschi's band, so Susan Tedeschi as a solo artist has, I think, 6 solo albums. Mm-hmm. Derek Trucks in his band has 5 or 6 solo records. And then for those that don't know, Susan and Derek are married. And when they sort of joined their bands, they literally joined their bands. So when Sean says it's an 11-piece set, because it's the entirety of Susan Tedeschi's band and it's the entirety of Derek Trucks' band that joined together. You had 2 drummers, the whole works. And a lot of these guys that we talk about, like Mike, was in a lot of times the lead vocalist for Derek's band. And now he's doing vocals, backing vocals for this band. And those guys don't only just contribute as sort of secondary musicians, like as Sean just read off, and he will several times when we go through this record, they help write these songs. These are high class professional musicians. When you read that Mike Madison's doing backing vocals, he's also writing songs for these guys. So I just wanted to set a template for what the level of musicianship we're talking about here. These guys are professionals, all the way to the guys doing backing vocals are just top of their game. So I just needed to say that, because I think it gets lost that why do you need 11 people up there? Well, because they're 11 amazing people.
The Brady Bunch of rock.
Yes. So that being said, Come See About Me, debut record, track 1. First thing we get is this ridiculous groove. I just love it so much. Then the steel guitar slide comes in. All of this is just building up. The organ that comes in is phenomenal. And it just sets this bass line for one of the most amazing voices of our time, quite honestly. I did not know Susan Tedeschi for anybody until I saw that show back in 2013. But when she opened her mouth and started singing, I was just like, what is this and how have I missed it? I just think her voice is so beautiful, and how she emotes and the soul she puts in it and the emotion she puts in it, whether it's a high tempo bluesy song, whether it's a funk song that we'll talk about, her ballads. I think her voice is a national treasure. And when that's laid over Derek, and what I can only explain is his voice, which comes through in his guitar. If you hear Derek play a slide guitar, you can tell immediately that's Derek Trucks. It is a very unique tone. Some people would say, well, like, why does it all sound almost the same every time? And I liken it to, like, it's basically his voice. It's him singing, but it's not with his voice. It's with his guitar. And how those layer on each other is so unique. And the fact you think about that, those two are married, and they sound that way when they play together, in my opinion. I think this song is a very great way to open. I like the nice little funk undertones, super groovy. As you know, sucker for a mid-tempo groover. I love the lyrics. Again, I'm not a big lyric guy, but if you listen to what Susan sings about, there's a lot of really excellent storytelling on this. And then when you get into all of the solo work and stuff, there's a nice little funk solo on here. There's a nice slide solo in here. I think this song really sets the table for who this band is going to be. And for track 1, debut album, this is our introduction to these guys. I think it was a perfect pick for the opening track, and I love it.
But I love the way it starts with that lazy shuffle beat, and then the slide dobro coming right out of the heart of the delta. And then I'm guessing that's Derek coming in with doubling the descending main riff and his slide on that SG. I think that's why he's got such a distinctive sound, because he's always playing the SG.
Yep.
The Hammond organ swells and chops along with that funky churning bass line. This is just one hell of a good buildup. I'm guessing in these first 26 seconds, they've just announced to the world that this is what this band is all about. Their take on the blues, funk, and R&B with a moody, laid-back groove. And then that voice comes in. And wow, She's got an incredible voice. Clear, control, with a little bit of rasp. Reminds me a little bit of early Bonnie Raitt on the first listen. The song churns along, taking you to a journey downstream until that clavinet solo? Unexpected, but very cool. A quick handoff to the slide solo. I want to live in that transition right there. Just build a house right in that transition. That was just awesome. An aspect of recorded music that I love is when you get the sense that the band is vibing and really into and enjoying playing the song and playing with each other. And they recognize how they are levitating, regardless of this, if there's an audience or not. And I got a strong sense of that halfway into this song. I was boogieing in my chair. I really liked it.
There are a few bands out there that have known how to introduce themselves, i.e. the opening track on their debut album. Think The Beatles with I Saw Her Standing There, Kiss with Strutter, REM and Radio Free Europe, even Bruce Springsteen with Blinded by the Light, although I personally don't care for that song. But put this song in with the best of them. From the moment the steel acoustic and electric dual guitars and Hammond organ call and responses hit you at 13 seconds in, rolling into Susan's opening bellow of Tired of Waiting on You, the band makes their imprint deep and invites no commands that you offer your undivided attention to what they have to say. After years of tasting crappy blended scotches that burn, this is the single malt oak barrel blend I've been waiting for. One band has been able to grab me, throw me into my seat, and give me goosebumps with their opening track every time I play it before this one. Glad to add Tedeschi Trucks Band to the roster. Derek Trucks' reputation as a badass guitar player is long established by the time this supergroup and this album arrive, so his lights-out solo work on the opener is no surprise to many. But if you're new to the band or personnel, he certainly has your attention right quick, as you both have just pointed out. It's amazing that this song only comes in at under 4 minutes. It takes the listener through quite a musical landscape in a short amount of time, and it's a great indicator of just how much this band can pack into a song here and moving forward. The next track is Don't Let Me Slide, written by Gary Michael Loris, Susan Tedeschi, and Derek Trucks.
Slow, murky funk, and I really like the slide licks on this and how the music simmers and percolates in restraint during the verses. It gets into a slow rolling boil for the chorus. Kofi's playing on the clavinet blends the blues, jazz, and funk so nicely. The song picks up a little more steam after that guitar solo. The backing vocals, the piano, and the clav, and that outro solo blend with Susan's pleading singing. It's just really nice.
Yeah, here we keep leaning into the funk. It's toned down a little bit. It's another example of how Susan and Derek sort of have this melody and harmony with each other from the voice and the guitar. I love the part where the backing vocals come in going into the chorus, that little don't, where they all sing together.
Don't let me slide.
then Susan kind of vamps the chorus through that. And then I also love how the various different parts all just interweave with each other. I like her vocals again. You know, she's starting to establish herself as a master storyteller. When we get to the next song, we're going to talk more about that. For me, this is kind of something we talked about on the Collective Soul album. I like this song. There is nothing wrong with this song. In a random shuffle, if this song comes up, I will enjoy every minute of it. The biggest problem for me is this has got a sequencing placement misfortune where it comes after the great opener that introduces us to this band and is a banger, in my opinion. And it's right before what I talked about in the beginning is the song that hooked me with them in the first place. So the whole time I'm listening to this song, I struggle to enjoy it because I'm anticipating the next one, which is not fair to the song because it is good.
I agree. It can be rough, especially after a banger of an opener. And then they say, hold on, don't sit down yet. As we'll hear in most of these songs, the lyrics are personal and heartfelt. Having, quote, been through some stuff myself, I appreciate the vulnerability of the lyrics. Don't let me slide. It's just a matter of time. Don't let me slide into my dark side. I've never been afraid of flying, just never knew how to land. Yeah, I can identify with that one just a little bit. Where the song is maybe short on the amount of lyrics, perhaps to its detriment, it is covered in instrumentation and background vocal. Derek solos off into the sunset here. The song overall feels a tad incomplete, which to me is okay in the grand scheme of the album. Perhaps, like the listener, the band just wanted to get to the next song. Feel familiar, Jason?
Mm-hmm.
That next song is Midnight in Harlem.
So I've said this a couple times on the podcast as we've established this new genre. And one of the things that we're going to do, sort of a weird mid-episode announcement, is we're going to get the Patreon fired up again. And one of the things we're going to do is we're going to start a playlist where we kind of put all of the songs from these reviews that we've highlighted as the bangers that everybody needs to hear. And this song's going to go on it. I'm going to tell you that right now. This is one of the best songs. Again, I've said this several times. Best songs by anybody ever. It's the right there. The way that this opens up with the organ swells and Derek's little slides in there and the bass groove underneath it. And then Susan comes in and exhibits herself as one of the master storytellers. I love the opening line. How she says when she starts the story with, I came into the city, and starts to unfold the story from there. Derek's slide accentuations to her, like almost call and response to a certain piece, is just perfectly beautiful. We get about 128 into the song and there's just tons of harmony. I love all the backing vocals. I love all the harmonies. I love how you get to experience, you know, even this being an 11-person band, I feel like each person gets a spot to shine in here. And it's not overdone, and it doesn't feel like it's deliberate. It just fits in the flow of the song. This is one of those that, like, even, like, this took me probably 10 times of listening to the song before I actually, like, compiled a list of notes, because I can't help but put the song and just listen to it. You can listen to this song 10 times in a row and hear this song 10 different ways. You can hear this song and pick out the way the bass line goes. You can listen to this song and listen to the organ riff. You can listen to the song and listen to Derek and how he's putting all those slide fills in there. You can just listen to Susan and her vocal and her tell the story. There's so much stuff happening in this song, and it's just on this nice, very peaceful, steady groove that just draws you in and makes you want to be part of the story. The oohs and ahs and all the backing pieces, the horn work, all the various solo fills that Derek does in there. This is a masterclass in storytelling with a musical like bass that touches all different genres. It's one of my favorite songs. I don't know how to explain it and give it its due justice, to be honest with you. Just pause this podcast and just listen to it. That's what I can say.
You can't beat good oohs and ahs for sure.
No, oohs and ahs rule, man.
How about you?
So you like the song, huh?
I do. Yeah, I'm okay. Going to go. My review of this song is I like it.
Oh, that's good. The short version. That's good. People might get tired of us slobbing their knob here over every track. So
yes. Yeah. It's a short podcast. If you just go, don't like it, like it.
Yeah. Ray, how about Midnight in Harlem for you?
So this is the one that stood out for me from the very first listen. How it starts, it paints a picture. I can easily imagine being on a wrought iron balcony of a fire escape, hanging out a few floors up, just sitting, shooting the breeze there in the sweltering Harlem summer night, that with those never-ending sounds of the city below. The drums and the circular guitar notes, the whirly, direct the song along with the Hammond flourishes and the slide licks, adding touches throughout and having a call and response conversation between the instruments themselves. This is a perfect song to showcase her silky voice. The entire song has that great laid-back vibe. Love the solo. How the entire band just kind of ascends. It starts off so humble and small and builds and feels like it just takes flight and fades out of sight as if it knew it was just too good to stay. Three songs in and I completely get their appeal and their fan base.
I forgot to mention this one is credited as written by Mike Madison and Derek Trucks only, which I was surprised. I thought Susan was telling a story. Just goes to show she can tell a story, whether it's hers or not.
And it also goes to show that Mike is a great songwriter. Like,
well, she'd stick out a little in Harlem.
Mike would blend in.
Mike would be good.
I love that that's the track that stood out to you, Ray, not knowing anything about the band or the popularity of the song. I first heard Midnight in Harlem as I did anything Tedeschi Trucks Band at a live show when they opened for the Black Crowes. As the sun set against the backdrop of the Chicago skyline behind them, the band took a half-interested crowd and commanded, there's that word again, their attention with every note, notably with this number. And that same effect is felt here on the record, as Ray just pointed out. This is a song that is known to jam and go long in their live shows. Well, let's be honest, most of them are, but it's never long enough. The last 2:10 of the song features a melody sung by the hands and guitar of one Mr. Derek Trucks and company. The car continues to shift gears and speed on and on into the night, building and building momentum until it tastefully and somewhat abruptly comes to a stop. Thankfully, the live version stretches its legs a little bit more. Funny how a song can be on one's meditation and workout playlists at the same time, but here we are. As I was getting to know this band and the song more, I spent time trying to figure out what it sounded like. There's a familiarity with Midnight in Harlem that gives you the sense you've been here before, except I could never place it. I don't want to get all Hallmark Movie Channel here, but the song I just met has been with me all the time. Let those sparks fly. Kidding aside, the song is original, authentic, and I would argue to this day, despite many albums that have come since, it is the band's calling card song. The deluxe vinyl version of Revelator is a 2-disc set, and so we're flipping the proverbial 12-inch wax circle over, dropping our needle onto side 2 of this double album, beginning with Bound for Glory, credited to Mike Madison, Susan Tedeschi, and Derek Trucks.
youth around your head. Bound for glory. I ain't getting out of this bed. The sun comes struggling on. Yesterday's dead and gone.
Well, it starts out swampy, and the organ is just taking me to church. The sun comes struggling on. Yesterday's dead and gone. Tell your story. Put the night back in your veins. Bound for glory. I ain't coming to you again. He really attacks the solo. And then suddenly I'm in church clapping my hands and singing along. Can you feel it? Bound for glory. Can you feel it? Glory bound. I like this tune. This one kept getting, this is an earworm song. This one will get stuck in there and it just will not leave. And after the song before it, you're just, you needed something like this.
Jason, did you go to church?
I did go to church and I love that. I love that metaphor example. It's exactly right, and I totally agree. This part of the record is sequenced quite well to give you that change of pace. Coming off of Midnight in Harlem and sort of the deepness and the emotionalness of it, and then you come into this sort of groovy spiritual thing. I just love the sound and how all of that organ and guitar and her voice all blend together. There's no real great way to describe it. This is also a very strangely arranged song, which compelled me to kind of map it out in my notes, because it starts with a verse, then goes to a pre-chorus, then a verse, then a pre-chorus, then a chorus, then the chorus again, then the verse groove with no words, then there's a solo, then we repeat the first verse, then we go into a pre-chorus after the chorus, which is unusual. And then we go into like a vamp breakdown solo section at the end. It's a strange way to compose the song, but it keeps it moving forward so that's always interesting. It does not ever get repetitive because what you expect the next part to be doesn't come. It's something different. And just the general vibe, like that's probably the best word I can have for a song like this. The vibe is unmatched. And this is another song that they will stretch out live. If you search up for live versions of Bound for Glory, in fact, there's one of their official releases, I think they open with it, and it's a solid 12 or 13 minute long version. And again, they're a band that, you know, there's a lot of people out there when you talk about double digit minute length versions of songs, and people are like, oh man, I can't handle that. You are never bored or uninterested, and everything they do is meaningful. It's not just a loose wandering with no purpose. Like, they're very intentional with what they're doing, and they use every bit of it to tell a story or accentuate the story that's already there. This is another bingo card comment for this podcast, but got to go see them live. And when you see a song like this stretched out a little bit, and you see Derek and Susan and their chemistry together, that's something that you can't explain, or you can probably pick it up in the audio, but when you watch them play together, and then you also watch how they incorporate all the other folks in the band and give them their spotlight, it's a magic that's hard to reproduce. And until you experience it live in person, us three schmucks standing here telling you about it, that will not do it justice. So good news, this band is on tour as we speak. Go get a ticket.
As you were talking, Jason, I couldn't quite place my finger on it, but I did feel something about that sound was different too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've pinpointed it. Maybe you'll play a little bit of the guitar strumming that opens this song, but it relies heavily on the high strings of the guitar, almost reminiscent a little bit of Midnight Rider by Allman Brothers Band. And people that know who Derek Trucks is know that he's got some lineage in that as well. So could have been borrowing or perhaps inspired a little bit. I have very similar notes to those that you two have shared. Bound for Glory is the second of this album's quintessential 1-2 punch. This is another staple of the live show experience. Even white people have to get up, shake, and clap to this one. You can't help but feel a little Sunday morning creeping into whatever night you may be presently experiencing. I love the song for its message of looking forward with hope. Does it get maybe a little long and self-indulgent? Sure, but it's meant to stretch out a little bit. Derek's guitar screams with interplay with the horns to bring it home. It's fun. It's maybe a little campy, but it's fun. The next track is Simple Things, credited to Gary Michael Loris, Derek Trucks, and Susan Tedeschi.
Do you take it all for granted? Do you have all that you need? Oh, and I don't want to tell you that I've heard it all before, 'cause I've been taking more than I've been giving. Oh, and underneath my shadow there's so much that lies in store. Simple things make it all worth.
Neglected to mention the last time we mentioned his name, but just so everybody's clear, Gary is from the Jayhawks, and he was present with Susan Tedeschi and did some work with her on her solo records. So to have him present on this debut record is not a surprise, but it's also another one of those, when you talk about various 6 degrees of separation from things, if you like these songs that he's writing on, then I challenge everyone, go listen to the Jayhawks. He's a very good songwriter, and he's a good musician in his own right. So that said, this is a ballad. So one of the things that this band does really, really well is very emotion-filled ballads. If there's any one critique that I have of this particular record, is there's a lot of those ballads on there. And that isn't a problem yet, because this is still one of my very favorite songs on this record, but it's going to become an issue later, and we'll talk about it when we get there. This one's really groovy. I love the intro riff. I love the little hook. The hook of the song is right there in the riff. Susan, again, it's storyteller time. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Just a great way to open a song and kind of get you thinking about what is she going to talk to you about. I love the pre-chorus into the chorus, the nice call and response, love without sorrow, love without pain. So you've built these walls around you. There's a lot of imagery about isolation, about being alone. This was, at this point, you know, over a decade ago that this was written, but how much it applies to a lot of our culture and a lot of what people are struggling with today is so fitting. I think a lot of people could relate to this song, especially as they struggle socially and they struggle with connection and they struggle with relationships. This is just a beautiful way of expressing some of those things and then trying to bring us back to the simple things. The simple things make life worth living. I love that line, and I love how she delivers it, and I love the message that it sends. Again, I'm not a huge lyric person, but for me, this song, it's so good in terms of just speaking to dealing with the stress and struggles of our society and our life and our day-to-day trying to get by, and how she sends that message is beautiful. That's not even to speak to all the musicianship, the Derek on here again with his solo slides, all the harmonies, all the different parts to it. It's almost overwhelming to talk about all the different elements that this band brings to the table.
So you like it is what you're saying.
This would go under, I like it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Got it tallied in the right.
If you've column. Got the columns going, yeah. Put this in the, I like it column.
Tick mark. It is professor.
Okay. By this song, it really occurred to me that this music is soulful blues for the adult contemporary listener. It's kind of like VH1 for some funky blues, so to speak. I'm going to go off on a little jag here. I was listening to the audiobook Eminent Hipsters by Donald Fagen. Thank you, Justin Cohn, for that. In chapter 2, he breaks down the Boswell sisters' version of the Heebie Jeebies. He covers how the song is about an anxious depression a gentle blues specific to women. That description, while listening to the song, resonated with me. It's central to the reason why female singers don't speak to me. Women think differently than I do. I know this. Just ask my wife. I'll mention running into an acquaintance, and just she'll have 40 questions of everything in less than a two-minute exchange, questions that I wouldn't even begin to contemplate in that situation. Women think differently. They have a completely different set of concerns. That being said, this song really didn't do it for me. It's not a bad song at all. It's well-written, expertly played. Her voice is beautiful. But the subject matter of this song is just something that I didn't get. Life without sorrow or love without pain is something I wouldn't even think to look for. It's just not how life works. I agree that the simple things that hold the nuggets of enjoyment in this life. At the ending of the song, she seems to be set free of her anxieties. Love has stolen all the bitterness and sent it off in the breeze. I appreciate the resolution to something I really just can't identify with. I hope that makes sense.
Ladies, Ray will be available for autographs and conversation after the shows.
And my toxic masculinity. To which somebody said that to me, and I just looked at him and went, thanks.
I like everything about the song, but I don't like it. Anyway, thank you. Well, after Bound for Glory, we need a moment to sit down and take a beat. Simple Things opens with a sustained organ chord and bass line, with a teasing Trucks guitar line that gets us to Susan about 40 seconds in. Her words drip with a sense of gravity and reflection. I guess women can have feelings. You can cut that part out, Jason, before I get in trouble. Underneath my shadow, there's so much that lies in store. Simple things make life worth living. Derek's solo, to match the gravity of the song, does not disappoint and feeds perfectly back into Susan around the 2:55 mark.
I don't claim to know the answer.
These two are wise beyond their years. By the time we get to the final verse, if not before, we're hanging on every word. Well, some of us, I guess. Beauty and the musicality of this song lies in the notes that aren't played. The organ, piano, and bass lines that form the foundation of this song are simple and effective, and the guitar leads and vocals amazingly don't ruin the vibe here. The next track is Until You Remember, credited to John Leventhal, Susan Tedeschi, and Derek Trucks.
Every night I pray that you'll come back today and hold me like you used to do. Every night I spend, oh, just waiting on your scent, oh, needing just a trace of you.
Well, this one starts off like a New Orleans second line headed to the cemetery after the funeral with some horns. It's a song about a love that got away. It's a love that she's not over. The emotion that she pours into the second chorus, you could really feel the hurt and the longing in her voice. She was so honest in her delivery. The solo is brief but mournful. And my God, she really belts this one out at the end. I like this tune.
Yeah, so like Prof said, the intro is interesting. You got the little horn bit. I didn't liken it as a funeral. I likened it as sort of a weird party favor or a circus type sound. It's off just weirdly enough to work. Not quite sharp and in tune. Enters into a nice little guitar repeating figure that I started to get the sense at this point, like, oh, this is sort of like a lullaby. It almost sounds like a children's song in the way that it's composed. But then when Susan starts singing, and the first line is "Every night I pray," and she goes on from there, and it's just becomes this super heartfelt ballad. And it starts very stripped down, and then it starts to escalate. So Prophet mentioned how she really starts to belt it out towards the end. I love how this just gradually and slowly and almost without you noticing it builds in tension and intensity as it goes. So by the time you get to the end, like Prof said, she's absolutely just like literally singing to the sky and full of pure emotion. And this is a highlight. This song, if a lot of this is sort of a celebration of all of the components of the various musicianship that's here, including Derek Trucks, who's obviously a feature, and he's present to be true. But if you want to understand what Susan Tedeschi can do as a vocalist, this is the track. Susan is the star on this track, and she is amazing.
Folks, whether you're familiar with this song or not, do this if you haven't already. Listen to this song with headphones. Starting off with a New Orleans funeral jazz style horn announcement, there's 2 out of 3 of us that said funeral, so funeral it is. The song quickly transitions to soft guitar melodies with church organ that is layered somehow over and under a bass line at the same time. Until You Remember starts off unassuming and quiet. As each verse goes to refrain, the vocals and guitars begin escalating just enough so that you know they're serious. The author is tortured, and if there ever was a blues song, this is it. I know it ain't refined, but I'll hold your place in line until you remember that you're mine. He's been patiently waiting in the background during this number so far, but Derek Trucks grabs the lead from Susan with about 1:20 left and invites you to walk with him through a guitar-noted landscape. To rival that of, and here comes my hot take, I'm So Afraid by Lindsey Buckingham, or While My Guitar Gently Weeps is played by Eric Clapton. As with many songs on this album, this is a great one to experience live. We move on to record 2 of this double LP, and it's time to dive in with Ball and Chain, written by Susan Tedeschi, Derek Trucks, and Oliver Wood.
Yeah, so notable, Oliver Wood, if you don't know, it's from the Wood Brothers, and it's got a writing credit on this. This, to me, is the second song that I would suggest suffers from placement challenge, because, spoiler alert, I dig the next song way better. That being said, I do like this one. Nice groove with a little warbly, stabby notes in there. Love Susan's lines again, man. I'm just, for a guy that really digs all the musicianship generally, and especially with a slide guitar virtuoso like Derek Trucks involved, I can't help but be drawn to Susan's vocal, and it's particularly what she's singing about. Hallelujah, we got some rain. We prayed for months. I'm so lucky, how she delivers that. I'm so lucky in the chorus harmonies. Just gets me going, man. Derek's slide that comes in and accentuates that at the same time. It's just beautiful just beautiful work. I could see where people, if you played this song in isolation, probably this would be a good song that people would highlight. I can hear why people would love it. I love all the harmonies and stuff. I just struggle to keep my attention in this because at this point, it's essentially the third ballad in a row, and there's another one coming, but I love the first couple and I love the next one. And I think this gets lost in sequencing for me where it's probably a better song than to give it credit for, but I don't get into it as much because I'm sort of anticipating what comes next.
So when I saw this track list, I thought this could be a Big Brother and the Holding Company cover, but it isn't. It's a love song where she is so lucky that her pride and joy is her ball and chain and that they're one and the same. Like you, Jason, I can relate to this. I'm deeply in love with my wife. We're best friends. And after 25, going on 26 years, I can say that there's nobody's company I enjoy more, even though we get on each other's nerves from time to time. I love how the keyboard and the guitar mingle in that opening riff, the keyboard warble in the whole song. And it's such a good way that it does it. Kofi's really just impressed me with this whole album. Mm-hmm. The guitars weave in and out. It's a great brief solo. The song starts out almost sad, but it's anything but. And a nice ripping solo during the fade out.
Swampy. It took me a while to find the word to describe this number, but I finally came up with swampy. And I think it works. A harmonized guitar melody, accentuated with organ and bass, dance around a simple but reflective lyric from an author telling a story of how she is tied, for better or worse, to the spot she finds herself in. But she doesn't seem to mind. Ball and Chain is not a terrible song by any means. But if I had to pick a sleeper for this album, this is the one. Wasn't my favorite. Next, we have These Walls by Eric Krasno, Sonia Kitchell, and Derek Trucks.
Kettle on the stove, peeling wallpaper, house next to a dusty road. She prays, oh Lord, don't let these walls fall down. 'Cause she's got no money, but she works like hell. She loved him like a lady, never did it too well. She prayed.
It's got that Beatley or Beatlesque Indian sitar intro before the Indian raga drone and tabla percussion join in with the telly strumming. She sings about a lonely, hurt woman who seems to waste her time on men not worthy of her. I hope that's just an archetype she's singing about and not her reality or her past. Although the honesty in her voice, once again, I fear it can only come from deep heartache, kind of like what Janis Joplin went through. I'll say this, if she were my sister, I'd have a posse going to take care of this guy for her. It is a great sad song, and sad songs when I'm not sad make me feel mushy, and I don't like it.
Don't be afraid of your feelings, Ray.
I'm not afraid of my feelings. I just don't like how they make me feel.
Okay, yep. Can track. Okay. Same note about the intro bit, the Indian sort of style, the sound, the nice plucking intro, the guitar fade in. She's just ready to tell a story about heartache. I had all these same notes. She wakes up in the morning. She prays, Lord, Lord, don't let the walls fall down. Susan's voice over the groove and the riff is just seamlessly beautiful. There's no way I can sit here and explain how that sounds with words. The only way you know it is to listen to it. How Derek then comes in with his slide over the groove. And again, the slide is his voice. It's almost like you could just as easily listen to a backing vocalist sing some lyrics in the same sort of melody that he plays the slide, and it would work. Like, his slide work is a backing vocal. It's kind of how I feel about it. And how those two, especially knowing their relationship, pull that off it's unique, I think, in the catalog of songwriting and how they do it. I love, in this case, like, most of the backing vocals we've had in the song so far have been male backing vocals. It's Mike and those guys doing it. And in this case, we have ladies backing vocals.
I've been thinking about you, baby, for such a long, long time.
And again, I just love how they meld it all together while she's telling this story. Again, I'm ready to put Susan Tedeschi up there with the storytelling greats. Who are the best storytellers? We have our Bob Dylans, and we have our, you know, Charlie Starr is a modern day guy who tells a good story. She's right there. She can paint a picture and she can tell a story. And in this case, and unfortunately for Ray, she's getting you all in the feels about some of the struggles she's having in her relationship. I'm here for it. I love this track, and I love how all of the pieces, again, 11 piece band, and they all have something to contribute. And I wish I could sit here and point out each individual one and what they bring to the table, because it's valuable. But again, this is another song that I struggled to make notes, because so many times I would sit down and I put on this song and I'm ready to make my notes and talk about all these timestamps, and I am literally 3 minutes into the song before I realize I haven't written anything down. This is not going to be as thorough of a breakdown, other than on this ongoing spreadsheet of the episode, put this on column like.
I hear you about getting lost in the song. I had to listen intently several times to make my notes. And I didn't even have timestamps as much as you did. Holy sitar, George Harrison. Time for a little Eastern meditation music before we transition to another, well, I wouldn't call it a ballad per se. Maybe the term slow cooker is more apropos here. Too many syllables in that sentence. I'm also dying to know what Lou Figuero thinks of this song. This is another great one, in my opinion, to listen to with quality headphones. Every time I listen to These Walls, I hear something new. Eric Krasno and Derek Trucks trade licks before and between verses that lead seamlessly into Susan narrating the tale of a deserted woman still not used to the new normalcy of life without her lover, trying to reassure herself that she will be okay, but admitting defeat and longing for simpler days. This is a well-rounded song in instrumentation and storytelling and tasteful arrangement in just the right instruments, including vocal, at just the right time. This gives Midnight in Harlem a run for the title of album masterpiece, depending on what mood you're in. The next track is Learn How to Love, credited to Derek Trucks, Susan Tedeschi, Eric Krasno, Adam Deitch, Adam Smimoff. I think I got those right. We'll be right back.
I can tell you this is much needed at this point. We've gone on a run of pretty intensely emotional stuff, all beautiful in its own right, but it's getting a little heavy around here, and it's a perfectly timed little dirty blues riff. And I needed it, and I got it, and I think them putting this track in this place on the record probably elevates it above where it would be normally if it were anywhere else, because it was time to change pace, and they do it perfectly with this. I love the heavy groove that's under it. I love how Susan can play both roles. So she can play this emotional damsel in distress, if you will, but she can also play this bluesy hard ass, and she does it very well. And one of the things that I really liked, there's that YouTube video that's out there of how they made this record. And I love how when she's in the vocal booth, giving her vocal takes, she has her guitar in there with her because she's got to have it to sing it. You know, like it's to me that a whole new level of respect for that bit, you know, and it's a song like this where I really feel like, yeah, Derek and his slide riffs and everything are a voice in and of its own, but her on rhythm guitar and her setting the stage and the basic melody with some of these riffs, I think is probably overlooked and underappreciated. And I love taking the moment out of this song to just say, you know, good on her for how she can set a nice, dirty, swampy groove and then let Derek and all the other guys paint their picture all over it. I really dig this song. I really like how this relieves all the sort of high tense emotionality of what came before it and gives us that dirty swamp blues release.
Professor, did you learn how to love?
Yeah, I did. This is some swampy music with some funk. And I needed the mood to lift too. Mm-hmm. Kofi and that whirly. Mm-hmm. Woo! I'm going to learn how to love you. I'm gonna show you somehow.
I'm gonna learn how to love you. I'm gonna show you somehow. Gonna love you. Show you how.
And ouch, that guitar and the call and respond in the solo. My gosh. Yes, I raised my hands like I was at church with that murky, funky bottom. Oh, yeah, I was grooving right along with the first listen. This one's got to bring the house down when they play it live.
Kofi, the late, great Kofi, his playing cannot be understated or overstated on this album. Mm-hmm. If I ever do another podcast, this barefoot in the mud, dirt under the fingernails with a tall glass of Southern Comfort ditty is on my short list for theme songs. Kudos to the band and engineer Jim Scott for a nicely placed guitar rocker here. After the last few songs, I was getting a little melancholy, and while self-reflection isn't bad, Ray, let's shake off the tears. Maybe hock a loogie or something. Get some shots lined up here instead of sipping wine. Musically, the layers in this song keep building and building, peaking at the 2:45 mark as Derek steps into the spotlight and carries the band through the remainder of the song. Learn How to Love is a refreshing and well-placed gritty banger. Well done, Derek Trucks and Jim Scott. Our last flip of the record takes us to side four, starting with Shrimp and Grits. Derek Trucks, Susan Tedeschi, O'Teal and Kofi Burbidge, Tyler Greenwell, Jim Johnson.
Out.
So I didn't realize, because I've only known this as a CD, so I didn't realize how the sequencing of the record flips would go. Changes my perspective slightly, because as a CD listener, at this point, understanding that this record is like nearly an hour, if not just slightly over an hour, it's somewhere around an hour long. My initial impression when I'm listening to my CD is this didn't need to be there. It's good. Play this for me in a vacuum with no context, and I'm like, this is funky. It's a nice groove. I like the melody. I like how it fades in. I like where it goes. It's a very good instrumental groove. But in the context of sitting down and listening to this whole sequence front to back, I don't think you need to put this on the record. I think you need to put this in your pocket. You need to figure out where it's going to start and where it's going to end and put some lyrics to it and make it a song for later, but save it. So that being said, what you just said, if I flip the record and this is the first thing that plays on that second side of this record, that's not bad. I actually kind of dig that concept a little bit, but I'm going to stick with my opinion of we don't need these little musical interludes when you already have plenty of really solid stuff to work with. I wouldn't have put it on.
That's interesting. I'd listened to it not on the record for the first time this time through for this podcast. And I remember when this came up, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. But yeah, I wonder if we receive it differently depending on the format we're listening to. That's a whole other show to unpack. Holy cow. Ray, did you get you some shrimp and grits? What'd you think?
I like this one. I agree with you, Jason. Once Sean said that it was on an album and that you have to flip the records, it made me think about Exile. And this one's kind of dense, like Ence Exile, where it's just so much on a CD. It just keeps coming at you, even though it's exactly 1 hour and 1 minute long. Mm-hmm. But it's dense and it's a lot to unpack and it's very layered. So yeah, I thought it was kind of weird to have a small little instrumental interlude in it, but it makes more sense with it being an album. But this one taken on itself, I wanted to hear more. Mm-hmm. It has that briefy, jazzy R&B groove like Hendrix's Rainy Day Dream Away. How it fades in and grabs your attention and fades out, kind of leaving you wanting more. That's just a good little tease. And I liked it. Like I said, I wanted to hear more of it.
Yeah, I would love to see what they could do if they took this and made it into something. Mm-hmm. And I have not, you know, we as a collective, I think, do this with some of our favorite bands. And again, bingo board time, you know, we talk about the Crows. There are a lot of these little instrumental ditties that you would hear in the lineage of the Black Crows. And then you realize like, oh, that became this song later. Mm-hmm. And I have not done that level of deep dive with Tedeschi Trucks to know, like, did this shrimp and grits, or even later when we talk about the Ghostlight, did that become something later? I don't know, but it could have, and it should have. I agree.
If you want an idea of what a Tedeschi Trucks Band live show will include, Shrimp and Grits is a great number to take stock of. It's a fun little jam at just under 2 minutes that simply allows the band to stretch a little bit, maybe crack their knuckles before Susan punches you in the nose with. The next track is Love Has Something Else to Say by Oteil Burbridge, Derek Trucks, Doyle Bramall, and Mike Madison.
I love the way she belts out these lyrics and the snare strikes without the chains on it. It's got that funky bass. It takes me back to the Huggy Bear's Lounge in Starsky and Hutch. It just grooves right along to the song, enjoying them singing together and the wah-wah funk on the guitar. And then Kofi comes in with that organ. At 2:16, my jaw just hit the floor. The wah-drenched solo. This band has some serious chops. She could be singing an advertisement for a crime scene cleanup company at this point, and I'm so in the groove it doesn't matter. The transition at 3:42, seamless, brilliant, and just before that second jazzy solo with the sax, a brief call and response before the second guitar, bass, trumpet, and clab all join in on the conversation. Okay, I'm going to show my whiteness now. Yes, Lord.
WD,
yes. Right as the guitar turns into a call and response, tell me they stretched this section out in concert. If Learn How to Love brings the house down, this one becomes the phoenix of the ashes after it's burnt down. I like this one. Can you tell?
Jason, did you like it?
I am also in column like, yes. To be honest with you, if I were to just slightly rearrange the sequence a little, I might take Learn How to Love and separate some of that run of ballads a little bit to break that up and then come into this. This is Funk 101. You know, I've started to build a playlist of my own of songs that are funk songs, so I can just get into that mindset, and this one's on there for sure. I love how, like, the balance between her lead vocal and then how the backing vocals kind of respond to her. I think it's very well done. And when she's like, I know, you know, it's, man, I'm impressed so much about how many different genres through the course of this journey we've touched on, whether it's the blues, whether it's sort of, there's no true like country sound on here, but there's that level of storytelling that's involved. And then lots of funk. I mean, this is almost a funk album with some blues in it. And the way that they play this record. And this is no doubt. I had Prophets of Larry. I had exactly the same two timestamps pointed out on how they do those transitions, 2:16 and 3:42. That's funny. So just for the listener, you're going to get some cuts of those two. It doesn't do us any good to sit here and tell you about it. You got to hear what it sounds like. The way that they pull it off seamlessly is just amazing, especially knowing, again, you've got two guys on drums, you got a bassist, you got a whole entire horn section, you got backing vocals, you got, I mean, and it just works flawlessly. And then again, you go back to that YouTube video we showed, a lot of these takes and stuff are all these guys, because this is recorded in their house, it's not their house, it's their home studio, it's like a barn. It's kind of like Levon Helms sort of situation, right? It's their barn that's out in their property, and they're not all playing exactly sort of in the same room, but they're all playing at the same time in various sections. You know, Susan's in the vocal booth, but she has her guitar with her. The percussionists are all in a room around together. The backing vocalists are all together. Derek's sitting somewhere in the middle of all of that, and they're playing these takes all live together at the same time. And to make all of these transitions and stuff, see, I'm sure that there's some sort of production and editing. I'm not naive, but how they pull this off and make it sound so effortless and soulful and funky is beyond me. And I'm with Prof. I think this is a banger.
Count me as 3 for 3 on the timestamps that you guys mentioned. It's getting a little eerie. The band gets right into it quick with this one. Susan's hollering at you within 5 seconds. The song has got some funk, some dance, some blues, and the band is tight with their interplay throughout the whole number. They really show it off just after 2 minutes in. If jam bands aren't your thing, this song can start to feel a little long about 3 minutes in. If you like instrumentation, this is a good number and a good idea of what to expect when seeing the band live. To that point, they go back to the jam very well for a second time at, write this down, the 3:42 mark. If you made it this far, you're likely staying until they turn the lights on. I don't read a lot of message boards or fan reviews of groups, albums, or songs, you know, kind of like what we're doing here. But I imagine the community is divided on this one. I know I am. I appreciate the individual parts of this number. And yet the song as a whole isn't one of my favorites. So if you've been listening thus far and are tired of the three of us agreeing on everything, this is a welcome change for you. Here I am yearning earlier in the record for the band to rock it out a little bit more, and they do. And I'm not happy. Such a typical Gen X thing of me, I suppose. The next track is Shelter, credited to David Ryan Harris, Susan Tedeschi, and Derek Trucks.
They made their promises and they walked away. Farewell, their friends are gone for good. You never cared about what others had to say, and through it all you understood. You are my paradise.
So I got to admit, so this is another song that in a vacuum, I love it. This is one that I had to sort of strip off the CD, edit it, cut it down to the actual just song itself. And then I put it on a playlist of some of my favorite ballads because I really do appreciate it and dig it in that way. That said, again, in the context of listening to the entire sequence of the record, you know, we're good 50 some odd minutes into the record and I'm tired. And I do usually really appreciate a closing ballad, especially like it when they're nice little short things. And in this case, not only is not a nice little short thing, they tag on a whole other bit afterwards. So there's nothing wrong with the song. I really do like it. I like the melody of it, but at this point, like, this is maybe the sixth or so ballad. I'm just kind of tired of them at this point, to be honest with you.
Well, one of the recent episodes we did, we talked about sequencing fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're listening to it in the same order every time, you're probably getting that here.
Well, this one made me feel a little uncomfortable. It feels like we're kind of intruding on their relationship a little bit by the lyric. Her delivery is so honest and her devotion to the relationship is so palpable. You can tell that these two people are deeply in love. And the guitar solo mirrors her devotion and her love. It's a beautiful, tender song. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. It's getting knocked around a little bit too much. I kind of liken this a little bit to Paul McCartney's Maybe I'm Amazed. It's got the same sort of feeling of, wow, this is really kind of cool. But like I said, you know, I feel like an interloper and I don't want to be. So,
hey, they invited you in. If you've longed for songs that carry a more traditional verse, chorus, bridge, chorus format, Shelter should be a welcome track for you. Shelter is a song of love and commitment. It's a little sappy, but it's heartfelt. It works for a love song. Derek adds in subtle one-line solos to accentuate the chorus and verse endings as a means to transition to the next. Is it exciting? No. Is it sexy? Not really. Is it good? Somehow still a yes. They often play this one toward the end of the live shows that I've seen, and it's a great fit for that last call sort of feeling. Next, we have a hidden track, Ghost Light.
I got my wish with Shrimp and Grits. I got more. I love hidden tracks, and this one delivers for me. I was listening to this in the grocery store and coming out into the parking lot when this one at Shelter stopped, and it was quiet for a little bit, but I didn't notice because I was watching the traffic because, you know, people in Texas drive like 50 miles an hour in a grocery store parking lot because who the hell are you going to hit? That's usually what my comments going through my mind as I'm walking through there dodging people. And this song came on and it immediately took me back to that same sort of Hendrix thing where I really liked it. And that video that you shared where Derek Truck says, look, this band alone would be amazing without vocals. And I couldn't agree more. And then she comes in and he says, but everybody's built around supporting her voice. He knew that her voice was really something special. And I was just really impressed by that. I was really impressed to find out that it was both bands put together, that they didn't let anybody go. That just shows quality people to me. So, well, I like this tune.
So I agree with Prof. You know, I made the comment about Shrimp and Grits. It doesn't really need to be on there as a track, but I did like it. And then, you know, obviously growing up in the 90s, this is a phenomenon. I did a whole little episode about hidden tracks on our Patreon over at Estate of Morca, which I'll share with the group when we get it up and running. But hidden tracks were a thing back then. And what would make a hidden track most notable is if it provided you with something different than what you got from the record itself. And in this case, citing the same comment that Prof did when Derek Trucks is talking about how this band could very well be an instrumental band and be very successful, but they're all trying to live up to the hype and the level that Susan brings with her vocal. This gives you a little taste of that. If you take the focus off Susan's vocal and just listen to the musicianship that these guys all bring to the table, this is a good example of it. It's very groovy. It's very funky. They do a lot of interesting little guitar elements in this. They don't have to follow a specific structure of there's a verse, there's a chorus, there's a bridge, etc. They can just sort of freelance. And like was mentioned in Shrimp and Grits, it gives you a little taste of what you would get when you see this band live. So this little bit as a hidden track doesn't bother me at all. I think it's a fine little treat for those of us that are playing the record beginning to end and maybe don't catch that Shelter's over and we let that 20 seconds or so go by and then we get this nice little nugget, which I really appreciate.
Oh, so you thought hidden tracks went by the way of the hyper-color t-shirt, slap grip wristbands, calculator wristwatch, fold over two-color Converse All-Stars. Actually, wait, those are still cool.
My daughter still wears all that.
Well, sit down, fella, because here comes Ghost Light. The song is a jam band lover's dream. features Derek Trucks and Company calling back to the chops and the roots that he was built on. Ghost Light is fun. Am I going to lose my shit when they play it live? No. That reverence is saved for Passaquan. See future reviews for reference.
Fair enough.
Now that the track by track is completed, we will give the record our final thoughts and rating. We will use a 0 to 5 scale, with a 5 being a favorite, down to a 0, which means you may or may not learn how to love this record eventually. First, the legend, the professor, your thoughts.
Well, guys, I'm really glad I listened to this album. I doubt that I would have come across it any other way. I'll give anything a fair listen, and I know pretty quick if it's for me or not. And this one is definitely for me. So that's just a nice way of me saying I won't be deleting it from my phone. And I can't really say that about a lot of the things I've reviewed. I'm not always in the mood to listen to this kind of laid-back style. And I'm going to say something that's going to make Sean's head explode. This band, the way that they kind of meld their styles together, reminded me of another band. That would be Steely Dan. They do the same thing. So I told you it was going to make his head explode. Different approach. They don't have the snarky lyrics like Steely Dan does, and they don't have the highbrow jazz thing that they try to bring in, which is just really a joke to them. But it kind of follows along in that same sort of idea, kind of like how Royal Blood and the White Stripes kind of follow along in the same idea. They're not the same, but it's the same framework. Like I said, I'm not always in the mood to listen to this laid-back style, and I pretty much cover my feelings about female vocalists. But this is just damn good music. I had the album in a long playlist, and I got to say, it fit perfectly. I just kept putting it on shuffle. I listened to it all the way through, and then I put it on shuffle with this playlist, and it was just good. Each song, when it came up, was welcome. You know, but save for the simple things, but I digress with that. This is a compelling blend of the blues, soul, funk, R&B, and rock, and jazz. But I really enjoyed this one. I'm going to give it 4 stars, only because I still need time to let it sink in further. So if that's a little low for everybody, don't kill me. This is literally the first week I've listened to this.
That's what I was hoping you'd say. That warms my heart that you liked it as much as I thought you would. Thank you. It's good.
Oh, thank you.
You can come back to the show.
Yeah, so by my count, as we went through reviews, and again, kind of thinking about building this playlist for future patrons and letting them expose to the things we call bangers, I count out of the 12-ish songs, 12 and a half songs, we identified 6 bangers. On this track, Come See About Me, Midnight in Harlem, Bound for Glory, These Walls, Learn How to Love, Love Has Something Else to Say. My personal banger list would include Simple Things. Sorry, Prof. I dig that song a lot. And even the other 5 or 6 songs are good. There's nothing wrong with them. They're not bad. There is not a track on here that is bad. Man, to call it a 4 would be unjust, I think. I have to go 4.5, I think. But here's the thing. This is the debut record. And if you start here and go forward, you're going to find equal banger ratios on the future records as well. We could do a whole sequence of Tedeschi Trucks reviews and find probably a third to a half of the songs on each record we would probably mutually call bangers. You get much more up-tempo coming up. You get much more elongated, deep ballads coming up. They are all going to challenge your listening fortitude. This record's an hour. The last one they just released is a quadruple record. So it tests your stamina. Yes, but it's worth it, I guess is what I can say. And that's hard to say about records like this, where that level of musicianship and deepness of the story and emotiveness of the lyric delivery and the vocal, it's a lot to take in. I would love for them to probably release records that are more like 40 minutes long, because it'd be easier to take in. And if they did that, they probably have 10 records. But I'm going to give this a 4.5 because I can't deny how good the songs are. And especially knowing that half of these songs we agreed are bangers, it's got to be a 4.5.
I think we set a record for saying the word banger. Now, is that a British thing? Because we've got a following over in the UK. So shout out to everyone across the pond. The band landed a hell of a producer for a debut record. Jim Scott has several Grammy nominations and wins under his belt by the time he comes to the Swamp Raga Studios for this project. Those wins include Tom Petty's Wildflowers, Santana's Supernatural, and the Foo Fighters and Dixie Chicks as well. This guy knows sound, and he helped the band knock it out of the park with this. Picking up a Grammy for Best Blues Album of 2011, and deservedly so. We talk about this as a debut album, and yeah, technically it is for the band, but you have a conglomerate of professional, seasoned, and talented as hell musicians laying down one hell of a record. Did I mention I thought it was a hell of a record? If I have one complaint about this record, it's that it might feel a little long and self-indulgent toward the end. How many solos do we need in the same key? Turns out we haven't gotten to the center of that Tootsie Pop just yet. The Tedeschi Trucks Band are, today, a Monster Force live show and a requirement to be experienced live for anyone that loves soul music. You will feel it in your marrow when you are in the same room with them. They established that pretty well with this record. Should be no surprise, but I give Revelator a resounding 4.5 out of 5 stars. This is on my short list of Deserted Island albums. And to you, the listener, we're excited that you're along for the ride. We look forward to your feedback. For the R4 Podcast, I've been your host, Sean Hillman.
And I'm Jason Donsis.
And I'm the professor. Rest in peace, Kofi.
Amen. Until next time, see ya. The Ridiculous Rock Records Review Podcast is hosted by Jason Donsis, David Hudson, Sean Hillman, and Ian Rice. Show produced and directed by Jason Donsis. Logo by David Hall. Theme music from the Steepwater Band. Find them online at steepwater.com. If you have questions, comments, feedback, or ideas for the show, or just want to connect, find us on your favorite social media platform at R4 Podcaster, or email us at ridiculousrockrecords@gmail.com. The R4 Podcast was created by Aaron Martell. Thank you for dropping the needle with us. Until next time, rock on.
At least on my end in the recording, you were very choppy. I didn't catch it.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of faded out.
Oh, somebody's probably gaming upstairs again on the Wi-Fi. I don't know what part of I'm recording tonight doesn't really tell people to not play whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Ian, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. We forgot about that whole stick. We haven't done it.
Oh, my God. I forgot Ian.
Sorry, Ian, you've been here the whole time. We haven't even asked you what you think. Yeah. What do you got anything?
Now we got to start over.